I'm Amelia Mola Schmidt, and you're listening to In Conversation with Radio Laurier. Periods. We all get them, so why are we so uncomfortable talking about them? This week on our podcast, we talked to two individuals. Kate Elliott, Director of Operations from Changing the Flow, a social venture striving for period equity, and Justin Chan, founder of The Community Company, a brand that aims to create products that start conversations. Changing the Flow and The Community Company have recently come together to work on the Period Project. The Period Project aims to increase access to menstrual products during this pandemic and normalize the conversation around periods through the sale of their period t-shirts. Proceeds of every sale from the period t-shirts will help fund the distribution of period packs to over 50 pop-up locations in our community for students and families in need of menstrual products during this pandemic. Kate and Justin, welcome to our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead and introduce yourselves and with your respective social enterprises.
Yeah, so I can go first. So I'm Kate Elliott, and I am the co-founder of Changing the Flow alongside Kevin Hebert. And so Changing the Flow, we are a social enterprise dedicated to achieving menstrual equity. Mm-hmm. We do this through awareness, education, and influence.
Amazing. Justin, go ahead.
Lovely. And my name is Justin Chan. I am the founder of The Community Company. And what The Community Company does is we create products that start conversations. We love making products that look just a little different than what you would see at the store. And oftentimes our products have designs that have meaning behind them, designs that really make you do a double take and go, what does that really mean? And obviously with the Period Project, which I'm sure we'll get into soon, we've put menstrual products right on a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yes, I saw those on the Instagram, and they're super bold, but super, super impactful, as you mentioned. So Kate, I'll direct this question at you. How did this partnership come to be between these two fantastic social enterprises?
Yeah, so I'm not sure I can take much credit for it. It was my co-founder Kevin and Justin who initially met and chatted before I had anything to do with it. And Justin and I were introduced to each other at the beginning of the year, I think, maybe January or February. And we were chatting through ideas on what we could do. And then obviously as COVID hit, it just stopped being a priority, I guess. And we both independently started working on our own things. And then just recently we realized that we both had time to put into it, and the Period Project just came about. So I don't want to take away from the work that we put in, but almost effortlessly, in the fact that it just made sense to collaborate, I would say.
And how has COVID impacted the work that you've been doing with Changing the Flow and with this partnership?
Yeah, I mean, speaking just to Changing the Flow, is we are focused more on kind of policy level and structural changes for menstrual equity. But with COVID hitting, we realized that there needed to be much more of a sudden, immediate solution with outreach, which is why we started Period Prepared Waterloo Region, where we were getting period packs out to students around Waterloo Region. And this is ultimately how the Period Project came about as well. So that's definitely the major way we adapted, was to make sure there was an immediate solution at the same time as we're working towards long-term, like, sustainable goal of menstrual equity.
Now, I know you mentioned at the beginning when you were introducing yourself a term called menstrual equity or equality. What does this mean? Can you break this down possibly for listeners who don't know what this means or maybe haven't heard of this term?
Yeah, definitely. So the kind of most basic definition that I like to use is that menstrual equity is affordable and safe access to menstrual products when and where they're needed. And so it's without this that you start to sacrifice health and as well as dignity of anyone that menstruates. And there are definitely more in-depth definitions that I think are important that draw attention to how we also need access to ways to manage your period, like running water. And also about the education around reproductive health is definitely very much part of it. But I think in its most simplest, just talking about affordable and safe access is something that really summarizes the whole thing.
Absolutely. And you guys, of course, have started the Period Project KW. Justin, can you tell us a little bit more about this project?
Yeah. So we really want to be doing things that capture the attention of our community at both a logical, intellectual level, but also emotionally. So with the period baskets and the period project KW, what we're hoping to do is set up sort of a mini blitz campaign where period baskets are all of a sudden going to show up. In a lot of places, they really should belong in the first place, like at City Hall and at public parks. And our hope with that is to just start a conversation around, you know, the necessity of having period products as readily available as paper towel and toilet paper. So every single one of our period baskets will have a sign beside it that says this will become the new normal eventually. Mm-hmm. And obviously that eventually is a little cheeky because it needs to be now. Mm-hmm. And it's not now. So our hope is to just kind of fill that gap in our community in the short term, hoping that it then leads to systemic change in the long term, which ties into the menstrual equity bit that Kate was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, for you, Justin, what made you want to partner with Changing the Flow to work on this project? Because I know you mentioned you the community company likes to do impactful, meaningful work. So what was so unique about this project or this social initiative that made you want to partner with Kate?
Yeah, I love sharing stories. Mm-hmm. I love connecting with people and learning more about, you know, what drives them and what excites them. Mm-hmm. And I think with the period project and connecting with Kate, just hearing, you know, why they're so passionate about it and why it's important really, really interested me to learn more. But then, you know, going a bit further, I think, you know, half of the population has a period story that they you know, could share. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, with the way our community is right now, we just don't really listen to it. Mm-hmm. So my hope, you know, using the community company's platform is to just find a really cool and different way to start talking about periods, mm-hmm. right? And we're doing so by interviewing people and asking them to share their first period story or asking them to share, you know, an awkward family period story, mm-hmm. And just things that we don't often talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think once we actually have people understanding that elementary knowledge on periods, understanding how it happens, yeah. you know, how everyone goes through it, we start filling this knowledge gap. And then once we actually fill this knowledge gap, the decision makers in our community at sort of a system level, you know, will actually be a little more informed, and the community members, you know, pushing for it, maybe learned a little bit, you know, something new as well. And ultimately that goes to our goal of achieving menstrual equity. So mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I think is what really excites me about this project, that it is just this unknown area for so many people, and that there's so much we can share and learn from each other and you know, really push the dialogue forward. And I mean, that ultimately helps everyone, mm-hmm. like non-menstruators included.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I really love the campaign that you guys have been doing on social media, My First Period, and sharing those period stories. I mean, it's everybody has an uncomfortable story like that, but we shouldn't feel uncomfortable sharing them. And I think you bring up a great point, Justin, about talking about making it more of an open dialogue. So it's not taboo, because unfortunately, I think for so many people who menstruate, they feel that it is something that is taboo and that they can't share.
Mm-hmm. And that's, man, we've been getting a lot of great messages on Instagram and on Facebook mm-hmm. from people who are just saying, like, that is so me. Like I so resonate with this story you just shared. And I think that goes to show just how important this is, right? Mm-hmm. Even sharing something simple like, you know, I had my first period and I hid it from my parents, mm-hmm. you know, just knowing that there are four or five people in our community who were so passionate when they read that they wanted to let us know that that was so them, mm-hmm. shows mm-hmm. how needed this is.
It's fantastic when you can connect with your audience like that. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, Justin, you have the slogan, this is going to become the new normal eventually for the project. What has been the response from the public to these packs? I've seen them in public spaces. I think there was a photo on Instagram of some of the period packs in the Waterloo Square in Uptown. Have people been coming up to you, or have you had any interaction with people who have been asking questions about this project? Kate?
I think I should let Justin take that one up.
Sure.
Yeah, so with the period packs, they're not actually in the baskets just yet. So the period mm-hmm. basket initiative is something that we're launching this week. So if all goes well, we're going to hit up a bunch of public washrooms Wednesday, Thursday mm-hmm. To actually start putting them in the community. So I can't really speak to how the community will respond to that yet. Mm-hmm. I suspect that people will be really jazzed up about it. And that I suspect that, you know, one or two people will tweet at the city of Waterloo and kind of get them to get their act together, or the city of Cambridge. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the period packs themselves, so just for a little bit of clarification, with the period project, what we're doing is we're selling period t-shirts that then fund the distribution of period packs in our community, while also normalizing the conversations around periods, of course. So the period packs themselves have been really, really well received by our community. So what we're noticing is that when customers are purchasing t-shirts, they're also buying 5 or 10 period packs to donate to the community directly.
That's fantastic.
And that goes to show just how important of an issue this is to everyone, and how, you know, people are always wanting to contribute to menstrual equity, but are just looking for opportunities to do so. So we've been getting some really good messages in support. We're working on donating our packs to a few different initiatives each week. Our hope is to be distributing the period packs, you know, through our period baskets, but also donating to other grassroots organizations that have been doing this for many years. It's important to recognize that, you know, many organizations are pushing for menstrual equity and distributing period products in our community. So what we're doing is we're using our platform to really bring new attention to something that has already existed. We didn't invent, you know, period packs and invent distribution of free period products. But what we are doing is we're amplifying the work that other people are doing. So that I think is the exciting part about the period packs.
That is exciting. Now I want to go back to these t-shirts quickly, because when I was looking on the Instagram today, I noticed you, like I said, wearing one of those t-shirts that has a tampon on it. And so often I think men are grossed out or get uncomfortable when periods are brought up. And I've even had experiences with some of my male friends saying that, oh, periods are disgusting. Don't talk about them in front of me. Just going back to them being so taboo at times. What do you think, and Justin, I'll direct this at you, needs to be done for like a normalization and destigmatization that periods are gross or that they're a woman's issue? And I'm saying that in quotes. What do you think needs to be done to challenge this and correct this?
Wow, that's a great question. I think what it takes are people in our community to step up and lead the change, right? Like with any change, it comes from community members recognizing it and wanting it to be different. So, you know, for people who don't menstruate, you know, for men like myself and my friends, it's just recognizing that this exists, acknowledging that it's a problem, right? I think with the way we were raised, you know, in our school systems, for example, our health classes omitted that part. I remember never learning about periods. So I kind of had to informally learn through my friends. And I think that's sort of the step one. If I don't have a solid foundation of knowledge, it's a lot easier to just brush off periods as this thing that I don't need to worry about, as opposed to actually taking the time to learn about it. You know, what I think, you know, community members and non-menstruators need to do is just to sit down and do a little bit of reading. And our hope is that through the Period Project, you know, we're sharing this information in a bite-sized way, in a fun way, to make people think a little. And then once you start thinking a little bit, that's when you can, you know, maybe decide to order a shirt and just wear it one day and see what happens, and just start some conversations. And if you're someone who maybe, you know, works for the city or works for the region, and you hear this come up, maybe you'll have a little bit of, you know, something to say about it because you read something, you read a stat on our page, or you heard a story. But it all starts with education, and that's really what we're doing with the Period Project. So, you know, if anyone listening to this, you know, doesn't know much about periods, that's okay. It's the system that caused this, but, you know, we can be part of the solution and we can push for menstrual equity. It just takes a little bit of learning, a little bit of time.
Absolutely. And with these t-shirts that have the tampon, the bloody tampon on it, have you gotten any responses, Kate or Justin, to them from people seeing you wear them, positive or negative?
No, I mean, I've only had positive. Obviously, I'm surrounded by people that are quite used to me talking about periods all the time, so unsurprising. But everyone that I can tell is supporting us. And because we also have a used pad t-shirt as well as a menstrual cup. that's pouring out blood, which I love and is our most popular design, is the menstrual cup. So it's exciting, and I think it becomes a thing of, you know, which product is your favorite, and it gives that conversation. No one seems to worry too much about the fact that it's a used product. So it's like, oh, which one's your favorite used product?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, and that's the point. They're supposed to be for use, right? Mm-hmm. So, and Kate, question for you. Some significant changes have been made recently by menstrual product companies. In January, Kotex replaced the blue liquid to represent period blood with red liquid. Zomato is now giving their employees period leave. And last fall, Always removed the feminine symbols from their packaging to include trans and non-binary folks who also get their periods. Are these changes making you feel hopeful that we're getting closer as a society to destigmatizing periods? Or is there anything key that you see missing still? I know you mentioned that there needs to be a lot of policy change and implementation. So I'll let you go ahead with that one.
Yeah, no, I think it's easy to get caught up in the fact that with all this, what I see as positive news and positive headlines is then, you know, reading the comments and reading the negative responses and from people who menstruate themselves. Like a lot of cisgendered women have been upset about Always moving to remove the feminine gender symbol. Wow. And also with the Zomato period leave, that was quite upsetting to see a lot of people talk about how they're like, oh, this is, you know, this is backwards. People are going to start to think that, but we're faking it with our period leave and we're going to take advantage of it. And I think what's really important to remember about that is even if you're a cisgender woman, your experience with menstruation are all going to be different. Yeah. Personally, I do get cramps, but I don't get severe period cramps. Like I don't typically need to take time off work, and so I wouldn't be taking that period leave. But I have close friends who do, and they're really severely in pain, and it stops them from functioning as they do every other day of the month because of their period. And so just because you menstruate doesn't mean that there isn't something to learn, which I think is important. And it probably all comes from the fact that it's so taboo that we don't even talk about it amongst ourselves as menstruators. So then we don't know these things, and then it means that we don't necessarily know the signs and the symptoms of issues such as polycystic ovary syndrome and endometriosis. Yeah. And so I think we owe it to ourselves as menstruators and to, you know, cisgendered men to talk about it. And obviously some people might get uncomfortable at first, but you know, if you wear a t-shirt, you're clearly up for the conversation.
That's fantastic. No, I totally agree. And I think there's a great point that you bring up about not everyone's symptoms are the same. We don't all, just because, you know, you get your period doesn't mean that your experience is the same across the board. And I think it's really important. And I think something great that Changing the Flow is doing is highlighting that everyone's experience can be different. And understanding that it's a lot more complex than it may be at surface level is so important. Now, obviously, these are good strides made by companies. But are there any major changes that you see need to be implemented in order to kind of create menstrual equality? I know you touched on policy federally, provincially. What does that look like to you?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a mandate that these, you know, public spaces and organizations provide access to period products, just as they do with toilet paper and hand soap and paper towels. Like, ultimately, I think that if that were the minimum of what we could get, that would be great. And obviously then it becomes normal and it becomes destigmatized through that. And there still might be more work to do. Obviously, as much as there can be laws in place for something, it doesn't mean that some people don't agree with it or whatever it is. And so there does need to be this education alongside it, which is something that I've learned through the process of, you know, starting Changing the Flow, was thinking that, you know, if I present this really factual idea to me that makes so much sense, that there needs to be free period products, that everyone will be like, oh yeah, I never thought about it before, of course you're right. But there's so many deep-rooted misconceptions about, you know, periods being so regular that you know exactly when they're coming. For example, that was one that I had to empathy, and I was like, well, that's not true. Like, that might be true for you as a menstruator, but that's not true for everyone. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to be caught off guard even if you can afford all the products. But then if you can't afford the products, we need to make sure people have access to them, because, you know, people start using homemade alternative solutions. And this might just be using a period product for way too long, which equally is awful for risking infection and toxic shock syndrome, but also homemade tampons with rags and newspapers. This is not something that anyone should be putting themselves through, regardless of their income. And so I think that there just needs to be access to free period products when and where people need it. This is not about making them free in Shoppers Drug Mart, but it's making sure that when you're out, you know where you can find them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Accessibility.
Exactly.
Justin, are there any other key things that you think need to be implemented to increase just awareness of menstruation and implement more menstrual equality?
I think Kate, you know, hit the nail on the head there. It is such a low hanging fruit that it boggles me that, you know, we are having this conversation and that it's just not a thing yet. Mm-hmm. Right. And I do truly believe that in the near future, you know, there will be menstrual products available in all public places, and that we'll get a lot closer to menstrual equity. I mean, the cost of implementing something like this is so low.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remove one, you know, speed camera that you're putting in our community, and we have menstrual equity in KW.
Wow.
Like, it's not hard. I made that up, by the way. I don't know if that's true. But nevertheless, it's not expensive to implement something like this.
Yes.
And if there's a desire to do it, we can. It's not a financial constraint issue. It is mm-hmm. We're scared of talking about it, so we're not doing anything about it kind mm-hmm. of issue. And that, I think, is you know, something we can easily change, or that I want to change.
Absolutely. Well, Justin and Kate, thank you so much for your time. I'm so happy to have you on our podcast to keep this conversation going and just to create more awareness around destigmatizing periods.
Thank you. This was so fun.
To learn more about the fantastic work that Changing the Flow and the Community Company are doing, visit www.communitycompany.org/periods. In Conversation with Radio Laurier is written and produced by Amelia Mola Schmidt. The song we use is called Loopster by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.